All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, April 14th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everybody. It is 44 degrees and very sunny here in upstate New York. Looks like spring has finally sprung. I'm hoping this is permanent now. No more snow in upstate New York. All right, where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Synthetic Biology, DARPA, and Man Science Gone Mad. And I know when I put something like that in the title, a lot of people don't click on it if they see it just in a feed because they're like, mad science, synthetic, what? We don't know. But you know what? There's so many things that are going on right now. It's really hard to be specific about anything. A few of the things we talked about, of course, were DARPA, so they had to be in the title. Some of the crazy things that DARPA has been doing. DARPA, where a lot of the science originates. I think that if there is anything that I have established as pretty much fact over the last 4 years of doing this show, is that DARPA is a lizard's den for sprinkling taxpayer dollars, black ops dollars, who knows where all the money comes from. They're kind of like this black hole attached to the Pentagon. Not only at all of our universities, where the best and the brightest are, but then sprinkling it now at corporations, professors and their smart students looking to develop, usually in the name of fixing injured veterans or something to that effect or to keep us safe. Should they get an actionable product, they roll it out into a startup company, a couple billionaires come in and give them venture capitalist funding. I also remember us reading that another thing DARPA does is they go into an organization and they borrow staff for 1 or 2 years, bring them on to work on some high-level assignment. And then who knows if they let them go back or make them sign a non-disclosure agreement and make them go work in the basement of DARPA. But, you know, what's disturbing about all of this is that really in the future, as we're watching the march toward the 21st century, and of course they're saying it's going to be the land of plenty, you know, even people in this movement, I'm really surprised that there are so many people that are talking about, well, the day when, you know, we have this land where we don't have jobs anymore, but we have robots doing our work for us. Why would you be looking forward to that? I mean, people, I've heard it on 2 or 3 shows now where people are looking forward to this day in the future when everything I'm saying comes true. Like, it's going to be a good thing, and they seem to be missing the point that this isn't just happening on an external level. This is happening at a cellular, and even beyond, a molecular and an atomic level also. So this A2P program from DARPA is literally being able to reorganize atoms and build from the atomic level up to an end product with these little miniaturized systems that they construct. And everything that they are trying to do in the electronic space, they have also discovered, or are discovering, how to do in the biological space. Now, back a few days ago, we had read about a programming language now for living cells, and it was just as easy as pushing a few buttons and coming up with some commands as it is for writing code in the computer world, and then it will encode it into the CATG and make you a DNA sequence that you can then plug into your little molecular machine that you've been building. And where is this going to leave us in the future? Well, if there ever was a doubt as to what I've been saying and how absolutely disastrous this is going to be, not only to the human race, but to the planet itself, is to take a look at who is involved. And we have DARPA, Google, and Kurzweil. Ray Kurzweil, of course, Mr. A number one transhumanist, sitting at the top, is Google's director of engineering, trying to merge man with machine in the middle of all the artificial intelligence projects, and trying to create deep learning within the machine. We saw that IBM also had developed a computer that they gave to, and I always get it wrong, Los Alamos, or what was the other one? Lawrence Livermore. I think it was Lawrence Livermore Laboratory. And it was a supercomputer that is the replica of a human brain. I saw they just rolled that out over there. And, I mean, don't think that this is an accident. DARPA, all this time, has been using soldiers from the battlefield who have been injured as their guinea pigs to come up with all this new mad science technology, including brain implants, which, you know, then they roll out into some sort of consumer product. In that case, it happened to be some of the research for PTSD and brain chemicals. And then, of course, we had that first surgery on live TV, National Geographic, to put in a brain implant to treat Parkinson's disease, pushing that dopamine button. We're going to see that now there's been a couple more things on the way. DARPA-inspired technology that's now rolled out, and they're going to make a big deal about it and get all of the tech-craving consumers to jump on board. You know, we've had some of the big tech names out there warning about the dangers. We not only have Kurzweil over at DARPA, but we also had some of the DARPA people leave, and we followed Regina Duggan, of course, went from DARPA to Google, and she was running their ATAP program, which was doing mobile and wearable computing, and I don't know, she had some weird things going on. We read about the secret project with Samsung and utilizing some of their phones and tablets and things on the battlefield, the smart products and the Internet of Things. That really was all of what Regina Duggan was doing. They brought DARPA Dan in then to work in her department as well. And he was working on all the bagging and tagging software and that self-aware external security to be able to search and destroy any type of invader getting into, quote-unquote, the network. They reached their arms out, and they brought all the corporations from a federal perspective into the fold because we had terrorists under every bed. So now they're all under this big umbrella. We also found out DARPA had that Gil Pratt now that they moved over to Toyota, where they launched that billion-dollar AI facility, of course, right in Silicon Valley. And we found out that a lot of the revolving doors that we have seen in the past between things such as Big Pharma and Big Agra and the federal government has also continued now with some of these big tech companies that want to run the world, who hold all of our data in the federal government as well, such as Google. Well, then it wouldn't surprise you to find out yesterday, right before I came upstairs, you're not going to believe who is now going to Facebook. Good old Regina Duggan. Yes, I almost fell out of my chair when I saw this one. I was like, man, either they hate her or they love her. She's just a mole, and they are sending her inside to now suck them all into this big conglomerate. Facebook hires Google's Duggan to lead the hardware research unit. Now remember, Regina Duggan, I call her Duggan, whatever. Regina Duggan was the same woman who talked about swallowing your authentication pill and having superpowers to be able to walk through the door and wave your arm and authenticate with some sort of internal swallowable, transmitter. She also was talking about tattoos, how amazing it would be to get teenagers to be excited about wearing these temporary tattoos that could be used for biometrics or whatever. This woman, when she was in DARPA, she worked on a lot of, again, their moonshot projects, which were the bizarre of the bizarre. And she moved over to Google right about the time they started purchasing all of those military robotics companies. So now they're selling off Boston Dynamics, right? We read about that last week. Google has put Boston Dynamics up for sale. Boston Dynamics is the company that created not only Atlas, but Big Dog and Cheetah and all those other really scary military-looking robots. And they potentially are going to one of two places, so it is rumored, either Amazon or Toyota. I think we've firmly established that Toyota looks like they're the chosen ones because they moved Gil Pratt, the former director of DARPA's robotic challenge, into the lead seat over at Toyota's $1 billion AI center. You know, of course, he would know. He would know all about the DARPA Robotics Challenge robots, Atlas being one of them. So I think that that's probably a good assessment of where that division is going to end up. They also, Toyota built a division in Boston, very near Boston Dynamics offices. And they are partnering now with the University of Michigan and some of the professors there on some of the autonomous car technology. So put on a seatbelt for that. But Regina Duggins now has made her slippery tentacles slide in another doorway, and she has moved over to Facebook. Now, what's interesting is that we've been seeing, too, all kinds of crazy technology rolling out from not only Google but Facebook as well. And typically, over the last 6 months or so, it's been high-speed internet via drone, via balloon, 4G and 5G floating in the sky ubiquitously. We don't know what all of it's going to be used for. Of course, they're saying that it's to provide internet to third world nations and poor underserved communities. That's how they always sell it. Let's be philanthropists and give it all up and help the poor. No. It's not about helping the poor. It's about giving it to the poor to see how many mice take the cheese. And then who knows what they're going to do after that. I saw Facebook also. We looked at, what's his name? Zuckerberg. Rolling out those VR goggles. They bought Oculus Rift. Remember, don't let anything get near your eye. It's got a direct connect to the brain with the optic nerve. We talked about Google Glass way back when. Oculus, I would have to say, is just as bad, if not worse, because it sucks you directly into the machine. It's not augmented. They're actually doing virtual reality. But we did see that now they want to work on both of them. Like you said, Microsoft's in the game as well, and I definitely think that augmented reality will probably be a much more important business tool just because you can multitask. But, you know, they got into this Oculus Rift, and Zuckerberg is saying this is going to be the whole full new way that we're going to do the internet. It's not going to be computer screens anymore. It's not going to be any of this crap. You're going to be fully immersed into the Matrix to be able to experience things in real time. And I really think that that has a lot to do with some of the what Regina Duggan is doing moving over there, is to bring on some of this new technology and roll it out based upon all kinds of research that DARPA's done on the brain and these human to machine bridges that they've been working on. So anyway, let's read this first story. This is out of Bloomberg. Facebook Inc. has hired Regina Duggan to head up a new research and development group focused on hardware called Building 8. You know, you never get any more ominous, kind of like Area 51. We're calling it Building 8. Part of a push by Chief Executive Officer Mark Zuckerberg to connect people in new ways, from messaging, ding, to virtual reality. And one of the messaging things I saw, they're rolling out all these application toolkits for developing chatbots now with artificial intelligence to be able to communicate with Facebook users and sell things to them and collect information. You know, they want to get you used to interacting with artificial intelligence. So when it becomes the grand poobah, the ruler, your doctor, your teacher, you're going to be used to it, or at least the kids will. This is all about normalization and sucking us into the machine. Duggan, who led the Advanced Technology and Products Group at Alphabet Inc.'s Google, will direct efforts to build hardware that uses Facebook software and complements technologies from Oculus VR and the company's artificial intelligence research unit. So there you go. That is exactly what Regina Duggan is going to do, is VR and artificial intelligence. Duggan, also a former director of the U.S. military's Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, will bring her DARPA-style development, merging products and science, to Facebook, Zuckerberg said in a web post. This method is characterized by aggressive, fixed timelines, extensive use of partnerships with universities, small and large businesses, and clear objectives for shipping products at scale, he said. Well, did they not just say this whole big ball of wax I rolled out for about 20 minutes between the relationships and how they play it? They're playing the game. I mean, she's got to be some sort of mole that the government just rolls into a corporation and says, okay, here she comes. She's going to get you guys on board now with the program. I really think that's what she is. She is definitely an industry insider. She's been in some very high-level positions. She doesn't, and the woman might be technical, but when I hear her talk, she's more of an evangelist. She's more of like this evil lizard lady who's evangelizing, opening your arms and embracing the machine. And she's responsible for rolling out technology that will enslave us in our future. So Zuckerberg, he's all excited now. He's got Regina on staff. She's going to pull in small, large businesses and universities and get all these partnerships and put his big, expensive new Oculus Rift goggles that he bought at the forefront with his artificial intelligence project that he's been working on, farming out a lot of the analytics that are happening on Facebook to psychology departments at the university so they could run experiments on us real time with social media, which I'm sure that DARPA and the National Institute of Health and all the other agencies that are involved in the Brain Project would be very interested in as well. Duggan's move to Facebook shows that the social network wants to encourage more innovation. The Menlo Park, California-based company has been building a mixture of new technologies to help connect the rest of the world to the internet, including, and here we go, solar-powered drones designed to fly for months at a time at an altitude higher than planes. You know, how does it make you feel to know that Facebook is launching solar-powered drones to provide internets that fly for months at a time? I'm sure, like we talked about at the time we did that story, they have some sort of Argus 1.8 gigapixel camera on them as well, maintaining surveillance just to make sure that no one blows that solar-powered drone out of the sky, of course, for its own security, not to be watching you. But, I mean, how does it make you feel? And we still need to look into some of those frequencies. I had the FCC filing, I think it was for the Google 5G towers that they were looking at launching. I don't remember. God, there's been so many of them. And this really has been a fast forward. If you look, we're only in April. I mean, go since January to April. Things have been in high gear as far as rolling out the net, the last bits of the net to tie the top of the bag closed. But Google had those 5G towers they were launching, and I don't remember if those were going to be on the balloons or on the drones or whatever other product, flying wings, I thought they had at some point too for a patent. But there were frequencies there that were quite suspicious, and the FCC application had been highly redacted as to what the exact use of those flying machines are going to be. Wow, it sounds like a squadron of very large helicopters flying over. I was like, what is that booming noise? Anyway, so Duggan's move to Facebook shows that the social network wants to encourage more innovation. The Menlo Park, California-based company has been building a mixture of new technologies to help connect the rest of the world to the internet, including solar-powered drones designed to fly for months at a time at higher altitudes than planes, beaming in web connectivity. The company is also using a mix of radio, satellite, and laser technologies to spread the internet to rural communities. And if we have time, we'll take a look at that project. There was a brand new story that came out yesterday about this new way with high energy beams, which I was reading though, it was kind of weird because it can beam like many miles out for the internet, but it can't go through walls. So it would just be internet outside ubiquitously. Though we found out that with some of the projects with the self-driving cars, they're actually going to make self-driving cars hotspots also, where everywhere you would be driving, you'd be beaming your wireless internet. So I don't know how this is going to work, but just know that they want to get internet everywhere to make certain that you have no excuse for not being on Facebook. This is back about Dugan. She is going to be building things that are mission aligned, says, yes, the mission, says Facebook Chief Technology Officer Mike Schopfer in an interview with Bloomberg TV's Emily Chang. Everything we do here is to connect to the world, and she will be doing a bunch of new things you haven't seen from us yet. Yes, that's what Dugan does. And that may be, like Oculus, will be a little confusing in the beginning in terms of how you put the pieces together, but it will all come together in terms of our mission. He said that twice now. Their mission with Oculus and sucking you into the VR machine. That image of Zuckerberg sitting at the tech conference with an entire conference room of techs, all with VR goggles on, all with their mouths open and drooling, staring into whatever oblivion as Zuckerberg walks down the aisle and nobody even sees him. Yes, that mission. At the company's F8 developer conference this past Wednesday in San Francisco, so it must have been yesterday because this was a brand new story, Vice President of Engineering Jay Parak talks about Project Ares, which adds antennas to radio towers to increase their capability, and a project to attach chips that spread low-cost spectrum via lampposts. So they're going to make your lampposts wireless transmitters as well. Now, when we go back in history and start looking at some of the stuff back from 2, 3, 4 years ago, if you remember the rollout of the slap you in the face with some disgusting body parts to make you realize that everything you do is being surveilled. We had those surveillance lampposts, if you can recall those. I don't remember what their name was, but they were rolling them out in some of the big cities. They were smart lampposts, and they not only had microphones and cameras in them, but they had wireless connectivity, so they could be collecting analytics. They could be collecting surveillance, what you said near them. They could be doing facial recognition. It was one thing that they were saying in the future. And they could be beaming it all back to a central location. They also, in New York City, I know at one point, Chicago and some of those bigger cities where they were worried about bioterror attacks, they wanted to put biosensors on them also. So just interesting that now that internet is so ubiquitous and electronics are so damn cheap and they can make an IIS server in the tip of a pencil with wireless internet. And, you know, maybe that'll take us into some of the smart dust, because that's exactly what smart dust is. Very, very, very tiny. You probably can't even see with the naked eye. And it's a little mini computer with sensors and wireless connectivity. But they want to stick these now on lampposts. Their new project to attach chips. I mean, again, this isn't a government entity. This is a private corporation, and this is Facebook that's doing this. Let's go around all the neighborhoods and give them this free, low-cost internet wireless stuff that we're going to put on all the lampposts outside your outback house in the middle of rural Arkansas. the out in the hillside of the, Appalachia. Just, you know that this is going to the next level when you start seeing all this stuff. Anyway, Google, Dugin was tasked with taking brand new technologies and getting them into the early stage products. Her group sat between Google's product development organizations and his longer-term X division. Technologies developed at her ATAP division included smart fabrics, wired with electronics, and hey, how convenient, a brand new story just came out about how that's moving on to the next phase now, wearable computing in general, not at Google. But Google had a project. We read about something they had going on with Levi's even to weave electronics into jeans. I really think that that is coming, and that is coming faster than we know it. They also had that operating system, and I don't remember what it was called, but it was an Android operating system specifically for wearable computing. And, of course, Android is owned by Google. And Regina Dugin was working on part of her project was on the mobile division. So don't think that that is an accident. Also, more technologies developed at her former ATAP division includes new forms of phone security. Yes, the phone security. They also have mixing and matching parts that could be interchangeable. But where do we know about security being worked on that had formerly come from DARPA and is now over at Google? Oh, DARPA Dan. Yes, and he was working in the same department. And then we also had the Project Tango that created mobile devices with 3D mapping capabilities. And I thought that that Tango was where we read about them being in the partnership with Samsung for their high-tech phones and utilizing some of that technology in the battlefield. So, you know, lots of connecting dots there between DARPA and Google and Regina and a lot of this technology that's rolling out. But now she's moved over to Facebook and they're going to give her Building 8. Building 8 is an opportunity to do what I love most, she says. Tech infused with a sense of our, and I'm going to put in brackets, losing our humanity, Dugin wrote in a Facebook post. There is just so much to build at Facebook. I should start tagging all my posts with her name. Now that she's working at Facebook, she'll probably see them all pop up, surveilling herself, see who's saying what about her. Google's ATAP was born out of the company's acquisition of Motorola. Right, it had originally been the Motorola division. Dugin was recruited by Alphabet chairman Eric Schmidt. Eric Schmidt, good old Eric Schmidt, talking about his longevity projects as well. We listened to an interview with him a while back and the partnership with Samsung and the smart devices and your smart home and how we're going to live forever because they're going to cure death like a disease. Yeah, that Google. But anyway, Dugin was recruited by Alphabet chairman Eric Schmidt to, quote, build a small, lean, skunkworks-like team that is not afraid of failure, he said in 2012. And though Google ultimately divested itself of Motorola, because, yes, they did sell off that division, it kept the ATAP division. And that was where, I said, they then spun off and started doing some work with Samsung. And losing Dugin is a blow for Google, which had positioned her as the public face of some of its more advanced projects. She was given speaking time at high profile events like the company's Google I/O Developer Conference and at external conferences like South by Southwest and West Austin, which, yeah, that was not too long ago. It is not immediately clear who will replace her. Well, it'll be interesting to see, though. Some ATAP projects, such as Project Ara, a high-profile ATAP project that builds phones out of modular components, and that's the one I was mentioning that Dugin was working on, are set to shift out of the ATAP division into other parts of Google in the coming weeks and months, said a person familiar with the matter. We thank Regina Dugin for all of her leadership and contributions as part of the Advanced Technology and Projects Group, and we wish her the very best, said Google. Dugin would give projects at Google about 2 years to prove themselves before deciding whether or not to increase investment or kill the idea. Her group's job was to inject Google with some of the rapid development associated with scrappy startups and the stuff she learned at DARPA, rather than multinational conglomerates. And when Google decided to put its Boston Dynamics robot division up for sale, ding, 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 company executives spoke approvingly of the rapid development of Dugan's group. So guys, like this story, someone who hasn't been listening to this show, the story probably just sounded like a lot of techno babble and a lot of shit you didn't care about. But if you've been following this show at all and following the dotted and even big Sharpie black lines that we've made connecting all of these people and all of these projects together over the last few years, you would know that this is a pretty damn significant move for Dugan to be hopping ship. And of course, like, oh, we're so sorry, we're losing her at Google. No, 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 no. This is just now making the marriage with the bastard stepchild even stronger, because now you have these back doors. You know what it's like. Anybody who's worked in the real world knows you make contacts. It's not about who you work for, it's who you know. And she is the slithering snake that's slithering between all these organizations and stitching them all together. So, she's moving over to Facebook. Let's see here. There's one more story, and this one's out of PC World. And yeah, she was also head of Project Jacquard. And that Jacquard was the wearable clothing. Wearable clothing. All clothing should be wearable. The wearable computing that was going to be going into clothing, where they had that project with Levi's. Let's see if we can find, everything. I kind of went out of order here. Oh, it's the next one over. Computers in your clothes! Oh, a milestone for wearable electronics. This is out of Science Daily from yesterday. Clothes that receive and transmit digital information are closer to reality. And we should put in brackets, thanks to Regina Dugan. But it doesn't say that. Of course, now we're going to find out, oh, is a university working on this? But I'm sure that there was sprinkle money, and she probably partnered with some of these researchers, went and had lunch with them on and off, and said, come on, let's do this. Researchers who are working, I'm sure that there's lots of groups all working on this wearable technology, but Google's going to be the one that'll be able to sell this easy. You know, they'll roll it into their little ball of wax that then they make required and necessary for you to access the internet. And, of course, to get your vital signs, and you'll need to wear your wearable. What do we see? The IBM's partnership with that Under Armour smart underwear dude. I mean, this is going to become commonplace to be able to track you, of course, for your health in the very beginning. Make sure that your doctor knows 24/7 that you're getting enough exercise. Otherwise, we're not going to give you health insurance. You wait and see. But in the future, I think that this will become commonplace. Researchers who are working to develop wearable electronics have reached a milestone. They are now able to embroider circuits into fabrics with a 0.1 millimeter precision, the perfect size to integrate electronic components such as sensors and computer memory devices into clothing. And that was kind of where Dugan, was working with that Project Jacquard and Levi's. They were weaving it right into fabric. It's a multi-touch fabric. And here, hands-on, Google's Project Jacquard plans to turn your jacket into a trackpad. I never imagined I would use my shirt to control my smartphone or anything else, but apparently that is in my future. Google's ATAP division announced the full details of Project Jacquard. It is one of Google's many wild and crazy experiments, and it involves weaving multi-touch textile sensors into regular clothing to turn, let's say, a boring sleeve into a trackpad. The materials can be woven and braided into many types of fabric, including silk, wool, and even some synthetic fibers. So, and when was that from? That was from May of 2015. We've known about this for a while. So anyway, back to this original story out of Science Daily. Researchers who are working to develop the wearable electronics are now able to embroider circuits into fabric with 0.1 millimeter precision. With this advance, the Ohio State University researchers, so Ohio State's in the middle of this, have taken the next step toward the design of functional textiles. clothes that gather, here we go, guys, clothes that gather, store, or transmit digital information. So in the beginning, it was just using your arm as a touchpad. Now your clothes are going to gather, store, and transmit your digital information, whether it be to your doctor or to the NSA. It doesn't matter. And look, hey, Facebook is going to have little wireless sensors all over lampposts, all over rural America, to be able to transmit that data. So how awesome is that? With further development, the technology could lead to shirts. Oh, my God. The technology could lead to shirts that act as antennas for your smartphone or your tablet, your workout clothes that monitor your fitness level, your sports equipment that monitors your athlete's performance, a bandage that tells your doctor how well the tissue beneath it is healing, or even a flexible fabric cap that senses activity in your brain. Ding, ding, ding. Holy crap. Beware of the baseball cap now. What is this? I can't even get over how absolutely insane this is. Make sure you go shopping at Goodwill. No more new cars. No more new clothes. No more new baseball caps. This is insane. I want no part of this. You know, and one of the things we need to really dig into one of these days are the frequencies and how these frequencies affect our cells. You know, they've been telling us for years, you know, the big controversy about cell phones up against your head and what that EMF radiation is going to be doing, those wireless transmitters. Got 3G and Wi-Fi. Got Wi-Fi all over the room from many different locations as well. If you have a Wi-Fi connection in your house, you got your smart meters. And there's all a potential effect of this, but now we're going to put it in our clothing. We're going to wear it directly on our bodies, and it's not even going to be like, originally I thought, oh, it's going to be the smartwatch so you could like text your friends and do your video phone and your Fitbit and stream it off to the doctor, streaming music, whatever you want. We're all going to get wrist cancer. Well, now it's going to be the whole body being encased in this wearable technology that's sending and receiving data, as then we're walking around with all these ubiquitous transmitters, teeny tiny, stuck to lampposts everywhere and flying 5G wireless towers on balloons and drones in the sky. How is this going to turn out for biology? How is this going to turn out for our cells? How is this going to affect tumors and things of that nature? I mean, I just can't see how this is healthy or how anybody is pushing this forward and not questioning the effects of electromagnetic frequencies that you can't get away from. Anyway, so or even a flexible cap that senses activity in the brain. That last item is one that John Volakis, director of Electroscience Laboratory at Ohio State, and research scientist Esmina Corti are investigating. The idea is to make brain implants, and we're going to talk about that because I have a couple brain implant stories from yesterday. Brain implants that, yes, we showed them doing research on live TV just a few months ago, National Geographic, for a PTSD patient. And all those poor soldiers coming back with injuries from all the many skirmishes overseas that we spent billions of dollars on, came back and he was paralyzed. So we found a way to give him a brain implant so he now can control a computer screen with his brain. Then we saw that they had robotic arms that they could control with their brain. Well, this is all a part of that. The idea is to make brain implants, which are under development to treat conditions from epilepsy to addiction. And these are some of the brain implants that do the chemical push buttons more comfortable by eliminating the need for external wiring on the patient's body, right? It's now you're going to get your brain implant. It's going to be in your baseball cap. You're going to be able to have your transmitter right in your hat. A revolution is about to happen in the textile industry, says Volakis, who is also the Roy and Lois Chope Chair Professor of Electrical Engineering at Ohio State. We believe that functional textiles are an enabling technology for communicating and sensing. And one day, even medical applications like imaging and health monitoring. Ding, 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 ding. Recently, he and Corti refined their patented fabrication method to create prototype wearables at a fraction of the cost and in half the time that they could only 2 years ago. And with the new patent pending, they published the new results in the journal IEEE Antennas and Wireless Propagation Letters. In Volkis's lab, the functional textiles called e-textiles are created in part on a typical tabletop sewing machine, the kind that fabric artisans and hobbyists might have at home. And like other modern sewing machines, it embroiders the thread into fabric automatically based on a pattern loaded via the computer file. The researchers substitute the thread with fine silver metal wires that, once embroidered, feel the same as traditional thread to the touch. We started with a technology that is very well known, machine embroidery, and we asked, well, how can we utilize embroidered shapes? How do we make them transmit signals at useful frequencies, like for cell phones or for health sensors? And now, for the very first time, we have achieved accuracy of printed metal circuit boards. So our new goal is to take advantage of the precision to incorporate receivers and other electronic components. The shape of the embroidery determines the frequency of operation of the antenna or the circuit. Oh, my God. This is just science fiction meets reality. I can't even get over how insane this is. The shape of one broadband antenna, for instance, consists of more than a half dozen interlocking geometric shapes, each a little bigger than a fingernail, that form an intricate circle a few inches across. Like, we're going to be physically walking antennas. Well, they'll be able to beam stuff. I mean, what does that mean? And we know that frequencies affect the body not only on a cellular level, but our brains themselves work on different frequencies of awake and different brain states, awake and asleep and meditative state. Some of those states make you more susceptible to being able to input information and make you more suggestible. I mean, there are lots of really disturbing connotations to what is happening right now and what some of these stories are talking about. I don't know how much more. This is a pretty detailed article. It talks about all the different weaving patterns and how all the different patterns will make different antenna strengths. The ones that look like spirals versus hexagons. One that looks like an O, and they, of course, could be decorative. Oh, here we go. They may be decorative, but the embroidered antennas and circuits actually work. And tests have shown that an embroidered spiral antenna measuring approximately 6 inches across transmitted signals at frequencies of 1 to 5 gigahertz with near perfect efficiency. Now, we know 2.4 and 5 gigahertz are the two wireless bands that we have for 802.11 Wi-Fi. That's also our microwave frequency. And I have to find out what other frequencies. I mean, it sounds to me like just based upon all these different designs, they can make it any frequency they want. But the performance for 1 to 5 gigahertz suggests that the spiral would be well suited to broadband internet and ding, cellular communication. In other words, the shirt on your back could help boost the reception of your smartphone or your tablet while you're holding it, or send signals to your device with your health or athletic performance data. The work fits well with Ohio State's role as a founding partner of the Advanced Functional Fabrics of America Institute, which is, hey, who knew we had one of those, National Manufacturing Resource Center for Industry and Government. Yeah, we're all in bed with government. This new institute, which joins 50 universities and industrial partners, Oh, listen to this. This new institute. So Ohio State was a founding partner, this Advanced Functional Fabrics of America Institute. Anything with advanced in it, you know who's got to be involved. Oh, yes. Well, this new institute, which joins some 50 universities and industrial partners, was announced earlier this month by who? Oh, U.S. Secretary of Defense, Ashton Carter. Yes. So we got the Secretary of Defense. That, of course, DARPA is underneath the Defense Department. Ashton Carter announcing the new institute, the Advanced Functional Fabrics of America Institute, that includes 50 universities and industrial partners to make clothing that's wired up with antennas to be able to surveil you and everything about you 24/7. Makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. Syscom Advanced Materials in Columbus has provided the threads used in this initial work, and finer threads used in the study were purchased from a Swiss manufacturer called Electric, with a K, Electric Sola. The research is funded, of course, by the National Science Foundation. The National Science Foundation is involved in all this mad science gone mad research, including the Brain Project. And Ohio State will license the technology for further development, and I'm sure that they will probably then roll out a little startup to be able to start peddling their wares once this is all ready to roll. But until then, Volkus is making out a shopping list for the next phase of the project. He wants a bigger sewing machine. Ha ha ha. So what are the chances that, as Regina Duggan, and this had been Project Jacquard, part of her moonshots that she was working on, what are the chances that as Regina Duggan is pulling up stakes and moving on to the next tech company to integrate them properly into the machine, that we are now at the next phase for these wearables where they can actually turn you into an antenna and surveil everything about you, including bodily functions and brainwaves? All right, so now, well, hey, doesn't this make sense now? Facebook's new massive antennas can beam internet for miles. This is the one where they're going to be sticking them on lampposts in rural America, as well as all over the cities. This year's Facebook's F8 conference, which I think was yesterday, maybe it's all this week, is all about feats of hardware engineering, which is remarkable when you consider that Facebook is a social networking company. Yes, what are they doing with all this hardware engineering and high-tech stuff now that's going to be sucking you into the machine? Well, hey, Regina Duggan just went there. That's why, you know, when a company blows $1 billion on something like they did with Oculus Rift, you got to go, hey, there's a reason for that, just like Toyota did too. They blew $1 billion, and then they got given a former DARPA director. And, oh, look, they're probably going to be able to be the bidders and the winners of Boston Dynamics and Atlas as well. Yes, $1 billion seems to be the big round number. Yesterday, there was a 360-degree 3D video camera, and this rather extravagant device pales next to the invention Facebook revealed today, a massive array of wireless antennas that can deliver internet access to phones and other devices miles away. The company believes that with this technology, dubbed Aries, it has set a new world record for efficiently transmitting data signals through the air, and the hope is that across developing regions in Africa and India and other parts of the poor world where those third world nations can't get on Facebook yet, the tech can sit inside well-wired cities and then wirelessly deliver internet access to all the surrounding rural areas without having to worry about wiring. According to Facebook Vice President of Infrastructure, Jay Parikh, this kind of wireless transmission is far less expensive than dragging fiber and power lines out into those rural areas, setting up traditional antenna systems known as base stations. We are reinventing the concept of base stations. What are the chances that we have all this new wearable technology rolling out, making you booster antennas yourself and wireless cars, self-driving cars, not only by Toyota, but Google. I don't know, is Facebook rolling into the self-driving car yet? I don't remember that one. Apple, all the big boys, Ford, Daimler Chrysler, GM. Who else? Who else is BMW? Everybody's getting into the self-driving game. And remember, we dug a couple days last week into all that self-driving technology. They are going to be working like some of these AI swarms using the swarm learning, swarm sensing, where they will be able to maintain their distance apart, being able to use AI, right? We've had now the self-driving car be designated by the National Transportation Safety Board as a designated driver in the United States. And now Google is on Capitol Hill pushing legislators to make uniform laws for self-driving cars across all of the states in the United States. I mean, this is coming, people. But what are the chances that all of this is coming together at the very same time as we use the magic cup with the little red ball named Regina Duggan and move her over to the next agency to pull them into the fold? I mean, this is such a telltale sign that the dooming is coming. And I don't know how to stop this. EMP. Come on, EMP. It's about how it's going to do it. Anyway, this ARIES, short for Antenna Radio Integration Efficiency and Spectrum. And another thing, let's stop. We have all these drone projects coming as well. And the Google having their drones, Amazon, Walmart, NASA partnering up with Google and Verizon to do their air traffic control system, as well as 20-some other tech companies that were going to be working on this project. Google launching their balloons and their drones. Facebook launching internet drones. I mean, those little internet satellites, that also was something that Facebook was working on too. The spider web in the sky has become a reality, people. And it's put this grid over us that there will be no escaping. You will not be able to turn it off. It will be integrated into, I mean, before it was our devices, and next it's going to be our clothes, and it may already be inside of our bodies. And if it isn't already, it's going to be some of the stuff that we looked at yesterday with nanotechnology and some of these little nano machines that they're building. It's here. All right. Well, and of course it says, what does this all mean? Well, it's building flying drones and communication lasers for Facebooks to get internet all over, and more internet access in the end means that more users can access Facebook. Dun, dun, dun. Don't let them believe or tell you to believe that it's all about making sure that Africans get on Facebook, because that's not what it's about. All right, guys, if you can even believe it, yes, it's that time again. We managed a whole hour, and I've only made it through 4 stories. Make sure you stick around, because it's Thursday. Mr. Kevin Blanche is live up next. Chuck with Jelly this week at 3 p.m. Eastern. 7 p.m. Game On with Ryan. 8 p.m. Have an awesome Thursday.
We got to do a lot of epic shit when I was at DARPA. It was clear that I wanted to do more of that.
You have brought a couple of things that you're, it's called...
The Advanced Technology and Projects Group,
Your Advanced Technology Team. You brought a couple of things that you're working on. And can you talk about them? Can you show them and talk
about
them?
Sure. So let's just take one really important problem, one driving application, in this case, authentication. After 40 years of advances in computation, we're still authenticating basically the same way we did years ago. In fact, it's gotten worse, because now you don't do it once a day or twice a day. The average user does it 39 times a day, and it takes them 2.3 seconds every time they do it. Power users would do it up to 100 times a day. So what are we doing about that? Well, we're thinking of a whole variety of options for how you could do better at authentication. So you can start with nearer-term things like tokens or fobs that might have NFC or Bluetooth embedded in them, but you can also think about a means of authentication that you could simply wear on your skin every day for a week at a time, say an electronic tattoo. Now, we're talking about wearables. Everybody's interested in wearables. I'm profoundly interested in wearables. And what I will tell you is that there are some, we've made a lot of advances in wearables. Well, a researcher at the University of Illinois, his name is Dr. Rogers, what he discovered is that he could use standard CMOS techniques to make islands of high-performance silicon connected by accordion-like structures that would allow it to stretch up to 200% and still be performing. And what he did is he founded a company and they started making electronic tattoos. And it has an antenna and some sensors embedded in it. And what we plan to do is work with them to advance a tattoo that could be used for authentication. Now, it may be true that 10 to 20-year-olds don't want to wear a watch on their wrist, but you can be sure that they'll be far more interested in wearing an electronic tattoo, if only to piss off their parents. And that's something that you wear, but you could also imagine including authentication in just your daily habits. So I take a vitamin every morning. What if I could take vitamin authentication?
What?
Vitamin authentication. Look, I have one right here. Well, here, I'll let you hold it. This pill has a small chip inside of it with a switch. It also has what amounts to an inside-out potato battery. When you swallow it, the acids in your stomach serve as the electrolyte.
That's what they do.
And they power it up, and the switch goes on and off. And essentially, your entire body becomes your authentication token.